You're listening to the Growing Leaders Podcast.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the first ever episode of the Growing Leaders Podcast. I'm Jake Sumner, and we're so excited that you're joining us as we kick off this new project. In the studio today, we've got Dr. Tim Elmore with us. Tim, would you take just a second and share with the audience a little bit about why we're doing this podcast and what sets it apart from the many, many other podcasts that are out there?
Absolutely. Well, this is our first podcast, but you know, this has been a conversation piece for at least 2 years between you and I. And the reason we didn't do it yet is because we didn't want to just do another podcast. Mm-hmm. We wanted to scratch an itch that wasn't being scratched yet. And so we are about leader development, but we're not Jim Collins, we're not Stephen Covey, we're not John Maxwell. We're attempting to help people lead the next generation. Mm-hmm. How do we connect with and effectively lead them so that these young people, these students, become the best version of themselves as young adults? So every single one of these podcasts, Jake, is going to be about effectively leading the next generation.
Definitely. Well, we appreciate you guys joining us today. With it being the first podcast, we know that we're going to be in a process of learning things and tweaking this process. And we're glad that you guys are with us for this journey. We hope that we'll be able to put some practical tools in your hands and help you out as you lead the next generation. But as we jump into this first episode, we really wanted to address an important topic today. And that's really the idea that we're seeing students are being stuck right now. Whether it's through the school system or whether it's through churches or whether it's through civic organizations, we're finding this struggle over and over again with seeing that there's a system that's just not working for some reason. Can you help us dig into that a little bit and maybe put your finger on a couple of the causes you think that may be responsible for that?
Absolutely, Jake. It is no joke. In fact, it's news every single week in newspapers and television. The school systems that we have erected in America are broken. I don't think it's the fault of the teachers. I just think the system at large is broken. Mm-hmm. But then you look around at nonprofits, businesses, churches. We're not effectively leading this next generation.
Yeah.
And the problem is, as you just said, they're getting stuck.
Mm-hmm.
So many deans at colleges have said to me, 26 is the new 18.
Ouch.
Well, the first thing that we're tempted to do is just blame the kids, these lousy, lazy, disrespectful kids. But we've always said that. I mean, Socrates said that centuries ago. I think it may not yet be the kids' fault. I think we have not been willing to rethink and relearn and perhaps retool the way we lead them. Let me give you an example of what I'm saying. In your mind, picture two columns. Okay. I think there is a column we could list a bunch of things under how schools operate today, but then there's another column on how students learn today. I think there's a disparity between the way we teach and the way they learn. For instance, I think students today are right brain thinkers. Daniel Pink has written some great stuff on this. They're much more, you know, there's two hemispheres in our brain, the left brain, right brain. Mm-hmm. Left brain is the didactic side. The right brain is the imagination side. Well, kids are being cultivated through media and Facebook and everything else.
Right.
We're a right brain culture. But schools typically continue to focus on the left brain. You know, it's dates and facts and figures and math scores are dropping. And so, well, they're dropping because we keep delivering it in a left brain fashion. Here's another one. I think students today best learn through uploading their thoughts, expressing themselves.
Yeah.
They've been able to weigh in on everything all their lives. I like to say in parent conferences, these kids have been able to weigh in on where the family goes on vacation since they were 5 years old.
Wow.
So they get to school, they're wondering, why don't I get to weigh in? Why don't I get to say where this thing goes?
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's because they're a student. But again, I think schools, we're just downloading lectures. In fact, because teachers, whether it's K-12 or professors in college, have to get through so much content, so much curriculum, they don't have time to let the students just talk.
It's true.
It's one-way monologue.
Yeah.
Here's another one. I think students today are experiential in nature. Mm-hmm. They love learning through experiences. Schools today, passive. I mean, by and large, especially for guys, for males, they're told to sit still, be quiet, write this down, and regurgitate it in May. I just don't think that's how kids learn.
Wow.
Here's another one. I think students today, I think music and art enables them to retain information.
Mm-hmm.
They love it. I mean, lyrics and so forth. Schools today, think about it. Music and art classes are often the very first classes that are cut from the curriculum.
Unfortunately,
the right brain classes are the ones we cut.
Yeah.
Here's another couple. Students today, they desire to learn what's relevant. In fact, they're tuned in if they feel like this might be relevant for them. But if it's not, they tune out. Schools today, we're teaching for the next test. In fact, I talk to teachers all the time. They go, I admit it. I'm pushed by my administrator to teach for the next test.
Wow.
And then one last thought. I think students today, my goodness, creativity drives them. But schools today, it's curriculum and test scores that drive them. So all I'm simply saying is it's not like it's not the unsolvable problem, but we clearly have a dilemma between the way we download information and the way students learn.
Definitely. Well, I think that gives us some great handles to hold on to. I mean, I think, as you've said, nobody's surprised by the fact that there's a problem out there. There's a dilemma that needs to be solved. But I do think this gives us some really great frameworks to look for what are the causes of that. And then by understanding those, obviously, that gives us a focus for what we can do about it.
Absolutely.
And I know in our work with Growing Leaders, we get to partner with over 5,000 different schools. You're out there on the front lines getting a chance to interact with some of these educators and some of the people that are doing it and doing it well. What are some of the best practices that you've seen out there? What are some creative ways that we can do address this problem? It's one thing to identify it, but what are some action steps that you see people taking that are really being able to meet these challenges effectively?
Well, Jake, you know this, but a few years ago, we actually polled students. We decided to go to thousands of our tens of thousands of students that we're in touch with every year and just ask them, what helps you remember? What helps you learn? Exactly. What helps you grow? And their top three answers probably won't surprise anybody that's a thinking person, but boy, we do not do it. in fact, when I'm in conferences, I often like to ask faculty, what helped you grow when you were growing up?
Right.
Very often, they will say, even though they're 45, 50 years old, the very same thing students are saying today, but we don't do it. So here are the top three answers students gave us. Number one was music. They said, I learn with music. And if you think about it, jingles get stuck in our head, commercial, music, song lyrics. We'll be singing a song and we go, I don't even like this song, but I'm singing the song because lyrics get stuck in our head. I think we need to find a way to employ the power of music in education. Wow. Number two, the second top answer was experiences. Now, you get this. We learn a lot more when we get up off of our bottoms and actually do something or experience something.
Definitely.
More than just listen to a talking head. So I think the schools and nonprofits and churches that that are able to be more experiential have a much better chance of getting through. But the third answer was interesting. It was images. In so many words, they said a picture, a story, something that, again, engages my right brain, and there is a narrative going on. I get to see something, not just hear something. And herein lies, I think, something that we can employ. In fact, I talk to teachers all the time, and most of the time, here's their story. I started out my career very creative, and then I got tired. And then I got worn out. Then the system beat me up. And we become very, very rote in our education. I love what Maya Angelou once said, and this is one of my favorite quotes from her. She said, we're all creative, but by the time we're 3 or 4 years old, someone has knocked the creativity out of us.
Wow.
Some people shut up the kids who start to tell stories. Kids dance in their cribs, but someone will insist they sit still. By the time the creative people are 10 or 12, they want to be like everybody else. I believe that while we must do more than just entertain, we are in the entertainment industry. The definition of the word entertain is to capture and hold one's attention. That's exactly what I want to do.
Exactly.
Now, I want to get across a very important principle, but I've got to capture their attention. And if I don't spend some time on the how, I just focus on the what, they may never go with me on the journey.
Definitely. Well, I think that's a great way to think about it. And, I definitely, from what I hear you saying, this isn't rocket science. I think a lot of us, we know this internally. As you said, most of us, I think, started out on this journey as a teacher or as a mentor, as someone that was passionate about leading the next generation. And maybe it's just the situation or the system that we're in that's caused us to adjust and to water down or just to teach to the test. So part of this is just rediscovering what we already know and putting it into practice. And I think that idea of images is such a powerful thing to hold on to. Can you expound a little bit more on some ways that we could practically use images in our settings with students?
Jake, you know one of my heroes is Leonard Sweet. He's a futurist. And he probably was the first one I ever heard say that this emerging generation of students is an epic generation.
Yes.
Now, they love the word epic for sure, but the letters EPIC always remind us of how they best learn and engage.
Right.
So real quick, I think this handle may be worth the time that people are given to this podcast. Len Sweet says, letter E stands for the word experiential. These students are not looking for a talk. Now, we need to give them lectures and talks, and we need to download content.
Right.
But they're not looking for a sage on the stage with a lecture. They're looking for a guide on the side with an experience.
Wow.
So the more we as leaders and teachers can create environments where there are experiences going on, maybe even just something they see, not just hear, or maybe we go someplace and on location we talk about the subject.
Right.
Somehow that experience just engages them more and they retain better.
Yeah.
The letter P in EPIC reminds me, they are participatory. Now that's a little different than experiential. What that means is students have been conditioned to participate in the outcomes of where the program is going. They want to have a say. We talked about that already.
Definitely.
They want to say something. You know, they want to update their Facebook profile. They want to post a YouTube video. They want to, you know, tweet or text or whatever. So I'm simply saying, as we teach, can we stop down and give them a chance to weigh in? I've said this 1,000 times in conferences. Students support what they help create.
Yep.
So if it's just coming from us, they may or may not get it. If we get to let them help to kind of tweak and create, now not the whole thing, obviously they're they're the student, but if we can do that, much better chance of engaging them. And then the letter I in EPIC reminds me they're image rich.
Yeah.
Now this is us, we, you know, we're the Habitudes people, but these students are absolutely, well, they've just grown up with visuals. If you think about it, all their lives they've grown up with MTV, with videos, with DVDs, VH1, digital cameras. I have a friend who's a faculty member at the University of Cincinnati, and he told me recently, he said, Tim, I have surveyed the last 8 semesters of my students, and I discovered that they have watched 35 movies for every 1 book they read.
Wow, that's pretty incredible.
Yeah.
What a statistic.
Yeah. And it may not shock anybody, but it does make me think, okay, if they're not reading, if they're not, if words aren't necessarily getting to them, how do we then get the content? We need to change the pedagogy. And again, I just want to go back to this. It's not that the what needs to change. It's just that the how we deliver it needs to change.
Definitely.
And then the letter C in EPIC, we've got experiential, participatory, image rich. The letter C stands for connected. These kids are connected technologically as well as socially. In fact, sometimes Facebook is the way, is both of those. So I just say to teachers, as you take your group of students, the class of 25 kids or whatever, could you break that 25 person group down into 5 groups of 5 and give them a well-crafted question and let them connect with each other. Once again, let them weigh in. Now, will it be messy? Of course it will be more messy than you just lecturing. But 90% of the time, they come to right conclusions. There's kind of self-assessing and you know, checks and balances goes on, even with bozos in the class. So I have just found the more epic I am as I deliver content, the better chance I have of getting through.
Definitely.
And I think Len Sweet was exactly right. So maybe this is just a good takeaway for the listener. How epic is your lesson that you're teaching next week? How epic is it?
Yeah. Wow, that gives us a great tool just to hold on to. I think just that idea of epic. Just one more time, for those of you that may be listening to this as you're running or as you're driving your car, to be experiential, to be participatory, to be image rich, and to be connected, and to be asking that question, how epic is my teaching? How epic is my engagement with students? That is a powerful tool as we really evaluate how we are connecting with the next generation and leading them well.
Absolutely.
I know you've gotten a chance to work with a lot of different organizations out there. Are there some particular examples that you've seen, maybe some stories you could tell us from the front lines of people that are doing this, that are being epic in their classroom, that are being epic in their setting, and really are able to lead students in a way that's much more effective than just the old, here's a lecture and I hope you guys pay attention and hold on for the next 45 minutes.
Yeah.
What are some ways that you see people being epic and really putting this into practice?
Well, as you know, Jake, at Growing Leaders, we've tried to even reduce that epic thing down even more so. And we say we've got to put our teaching on ICE. ICE. Start with an image. And we have said for years and years and years, a picture's worth 1,000 words.
Oh, yeah.
So you start with the image, you engage the right brain, and now you've got their imagination.
Mm-hmm.
Now you've also got a conversation. That's letter C in ICE. So you start with an image, leads to a conversation. Now there's engagement.
Exactly.
So it was right brain, now it's engagement. And then the letter E in ICE stands for experience. We believe images lead to conversations. We believe conversations lead to experiences, which changes our life.
Wow.
So we have found that the schools, the businesses, the nonprofits, the church youth groups that do this well are the ones that seem to gain the following of students. Mm-hmm. And not just the following, their lives change. Yeah. I mean, imagine this. In math class, a life can change. but we don't think it can because we just keep doing lecture test, you know, lecture drill test, lecture mm-hmm. drill test, the same old way we've always done it. Let me give you a few stories before we wrap up here.
Definitely.
We do see this working all the time. It's very, very exciting. One professor at a university in Texas called me and he said, "Tim, I just wanted you to know. You need to know this," mm-hmm. he said. "I am over 60 years old." That's what he said. He said, "I'm over 60 years old. I've been teaching the same way for nearly 40 years."
Mm-hmm.
And he said, "I began to hear this kind of stuff that you're talking about."
Yeah.
And he said, "I decided to change my style, my pedagogy."
Mm-hmm.
He said, "My class subject stayed the same. We still had the same syllabus." But he said, "All of a sudden, I began to do, you know, stuff with images and experiences." He started getting his students involved. In fact, his students actually helped the rest of the class get ready for the final.
Wow.
They did games and actually did a game show and experiences mm-hmm. and so forth. But he said, "I used images. I used experiences. We let them have conversations. We did games." He said, "I just wanted you to know the students actually attended class. I didn't have a punctuality problem. I didn't have an attendance problem." And he said, "The grades went up a grade and a half."
That's incredible.
Year in the class. And it was the same, pardon me, white-haired 60-year-old teacher,
mm-hmm.
but the way he delivered it changed, and they engaged with him. So it's not an age thing. We can't hide behind, "Well, I'm 50, forget it."
Exactly.
It's up to us to stay relevant.
Mm-hmm.
There's a great example. You know, we work with a number of NCAA Division mm-hmm. I athletic programs.
Oh, yeah.
We also work with three professional baseball teams.
Mm-hmm.
One of those professional baseball teams had an amazing story. In fact, this will forever be etched in my memory.
Mm-hmm.
After we went out to spring training and launched the team for season number 4, I think it was, one of the managers came up to me and said, "You need to know what happened this last season with mm-hmm. these habitudes." He said, "We were teaching the way you teach us to teach, you know, images, conversations." And he said, "We were in the clubhouse, and I had my 25 guys on my team, all in uniforms, waiting to go out to take BP, batting mm-hmm. practice." He said, "One of the guys in the discussion was just staring at the floor. Mm-hmm. He was not engaged. At least I didn't think he was engaged."
Yeah.
He said, "When I got done with my, you know, with our conversation about this image,"
mm-hmm.
he said, "this player came up to me and said, 'Coach, can I teach the next week's lesson?'"
Mm-hmm.
He said, "I was shocked because I thought I didn't think you were paying any attention." But he said, "Absolutely, of course." Well, the next week, the player gets up and he stumbles through his words because he is not a speaker. He's a hitter.
Mm-hmm.
But he ended up quietly and in a very uneloquent sort of way saying, "I have something I need to tell you guys."
Mm.
And then he said, "First, I have something I need to show you guys." And he reached around and pulled out of his back pocket a rope. It was a noose.
Wow.
And he held it up and he said, "You know what this is, what this is for?" And everybody kind of got big eyes and
mm-hmm.
then nobody said anything because they thought, "I think I know what it is. It's and he said, "I was gonna hang myself this week." And he went on to say, "I've been in a slump and I don't think I'm gonna make the majors. I'm in minor leagues. This sucks, I don't like it, blah, blah, blah." And he just said I was gonna end it all. But he said, "Last week, as we were talking about this image, it suddenly grabbed me and mm-hmm. I heard you guys talking, it made sense." And he said, "This is a principle that I'm not following and I need to follow." Well, he completely changed the trajectory of his thinking, which
wow.
eventually changed the direct trajectory of his life. So he led the lesson and was completely turned around. Well, you can imagine, the rest of the team now is very transparent, very engaged,
because
this guy has opened the door. Started a whole new level of conversation. And what's really cool about the story is he not only didn't kill himself, I think he's in the major leagues now. I mean, I think he broke out of his slump, and I'm not sure if it was because of that conversation,
sure.
but certainly here's a story about a life change because of a simple conversation and a manager, for Pete's mm-hmm. sake, that wasn't a teacher. He's not a professor. He's a manager. But he just used the simple formula of start with an image, move to a conversation, go to an experience.
Wow.
Now, you know, it just dawned on me, Jake. Mm-hmm. It's a sidebar. I don't know. Some of our listeners may not even be aware of what we have created
sure.
to do this. This is not a sales pitch, but it's just an example of one way it can
right.
be done. A few years ago, we started developing something called Habitudes.
Mm-hmm.
Habitudes are simply images that form leadership habits and attitudes.
Mm-hmm.
And as you know, it's a 4-book set. But the books are very small. They're meant to be a guide, not a god, mm-hmm. to a discussion. But Jake, you know this. There's 13 sure. images in every single book, and every one of the images represents a timeless principle mm-hmm. that we feel like students need to learn.
Definitely.
But as you show them the image, it just starts launching conversations. And the leader will get out of the way and let them talk,
exactly.
it's amazing what it will do. But, you know, the iceberg, rivers and floods, mm-hmm. you know, a starving baker, all these images are principles that now engage the students. So definitely. It is possible. And the professor I talked about did this, the baseball team I talked about. Let me close with one last story. This is sure. probably one of my favorite stories. It's a K-12 school and also happened to be in the North Dallas, Texas area. Mm-hmm. But one of the teachers spoke to me and said, Tim, we've been using your material now and these images and conversations. And this school has done a stellar job at creating an epic culture yeah. in their school. And when I say epic, I mean there's experiences. They're helping get ready for their careers. Mm-hmm. They're having conversations. And it's not just, you know, what happened in 1735, you know, in America or whatever. So one teacher said, we just had gotten back from an incredible experience. One of the students had gotten to do exactly what he plans to do with his career. But it had started with a conversation. Then he felt safe enough to try out the experience.
Sure.
But the teacher said, at the end of the day, the teacher said, I said to him, how'd you like the day? And the teacher said, this kid looked up at me with tears in his eyes and said, this is the best day of my life.
Wow.
Well, I thought to myself, only if every teacher could say
exactly
the students are saying to
isn't
me.
Isn't that what we all hope for?
Absolutely.
As we work with students and pour in
absolutely.
To have a result like that.
Yeah. And I'm thinking this teacher doesn't claim to be some brilliant speaker.
Sure.
She just was a person that said, I'm going to do things different. Mm-hmm. And if I do things different, who knows what might happen?
Wow.
And well, I do know what happens. It changes lives.
Definitely. So, yeah. Well, thanks so much for sharing those. I feel like those are definitely some great handles as we think about how we can lead the next generation well. And some great examples just to hear it played out in the lives of these different organizations and people that are putting it into practice. Obviously, for the listeners out there, we hope that these are things that they can take and immediately put them into practice. You know, as you go through your day-to-day and are thinking about, how can I be more epic? How can I, you know, use images and create yeah. conversations that lead to experiences. These are things that can be put into practice even today
yeah.
as you listen to this podcast.
Yeah.
And so we really just want to thank the listeners for joining us yeah. for today's podcast.
Yeah.
And Tim, would you have any more thoughts you want to share as
yeah,
we wrap things up
today?
Yeah,
just one last thought, Jake. As we do these podcasts, I want to remind the listeners, we'd love to hear from you.
Definitely.
As I mentioned at the beginning, we want to scratch where the itch is. So if you want to email mm-hmm. info@growingleaders.com, mm-hmm.
Yeah,
and just let us know what you'd like us to talk about. If it's a relevant topic under the umbrella of leading the next generation, we'd love to address it.
Well, let me say thanks, everyone, for joining us on the Growing Leaders podcast today. This is our first ever episode, and we hope that you found it helpful. And we look forward to coming back in the weeks ahead and providing more content to help you as you lead the next generation well. If you're just getting familiar with our organization, Growing Leaders, let me just encourage you to visit our website at growingleaders.com. There's a wealth of information there. I know we've talked briefly about the Habitudes curriculum that's available, but feel free to drop by our website and check out if you want to get some more information on those materials. Some great tools for helping you lead the next generation well. And then finally, if these thoughts have been provoking for you, if you want to dig in a little bit deeper, Tim blogs 5 days a week at blog.growingleaders.com. And we'd love to have you drop by there and just check out some of the practical tools that he's giving on a daily basis to help you lead the next generation well. I want to say thanks one more time for joining us. And again, we look forward to seeing you next time on the Growing Leaders podcast.